Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
The best part of holiday gifting? Giving them something they'll use all year. During December deal drops at Lowe's, save $40 on select Craftsman V20 tools, now just $59. Plus, all rewards members get free standard shipping. Shop new December deal drops every week this month. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/10. While supplies last, free shipping excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Subject to change. Visit Lowe's.com/shipping terms for details.
Let's talk.
You're listening to Giles Brown on Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain. Senna, the truth is an earnest sense for the truth behind the tragic death of Formula One legend Ayrton Senna. It's by veteran Italian journalist Franco Nugnes, who worked for Italy's motorsport bible Autosprint. He was there at the time of Senna's passing. I am delighted to say that I am joined live on the line by Franco and also by Franco's translator, who is Michele Serafina. Gentlemen, good morning to you.
Good morning,
Franco.
Ciao, Gilles.
It sounds so much better in Italian. So, Senna, obviously, was a motorsport idol. He transcended the sport of motorsport and was, in fact, a world record, perhaps the most famous person on the planet in terms of motorsport. Franco, what was your original reaction to that terrible day at the Tamburello in Imola?
È stato un autentico disastro, perché era impossibile per il mondo della Formula 1 che io frequentavo pensare che Magic, il numero uno della Formula 1, potesse morire sull'autodromo di Imola. Sì, la curva del Tamburello, ma la curva del Tamburello per la Formula 1 era nient'altro che un rettilineo. E ogni incidente che è successo in quella curva era sempre causato da un motivo tecnico, da una rottura meccanica.
Well, it was an absolute disaster, because nobody could believe possible that Magic, as he was nicknamed, the number one driver at the time, could die in a race. That was really something unbelievable. And on top of that, the Tamburello curve, the Tamburello bend in Imola, is considered by all pilots like a straight. And any accident that had occurred there was just, you know, technical accident. No one had ever actually lost his life there.
With Tamburello, it's really interesting, because we had seen accidents with Nelson Piquet there. We had seen accidents with Gerhard Berger there. But the problem with the Tamburello, because the curve, you cannot change the curve itself, because you have a river. You have a river running behind at Imola. So did the drivers have a concern? Were they worried about Tamburello before Senna's accident?
Ma la preoccupazione dei piloti è che sull'asfalto c'erano alcuni bump che rendevano particolarmente complessa la tenuta delle macchine ad altissima velocità. Si arrivava alla staccata della Tosa a oltre 300 km all'ora, in percorrenza si andava quindi a velocità estremamente elevate, e la vicinanza del fiume, come ha detto Gilles, creava un grosso problema. Non c'era la possibilità di allargare la via di fuga e quindi c'era un muro che era quello più temuto dai piloti, e l'esempio di Piquet piuttosto che quello di Berger, ma possiamo aggiungere Michele Alboreto, ce ne sono altri, era la difficoltà di sbattere con un angolo che poteva essere molto pericoloso con le protezioni.
Well, there were many reasons to be concerned about the Tamburello curve. First of all, in the asphalt there have always been bumps, and these bumps have compromised at times stability for cars that were driving over there close to 300 kilometers per hour. And as you rightfully say, the river nearby was a great limitation to the security of the Tamburello. We could add also Michele Alboreto to Piquet and Berger. So that curve has always been a problem to take, especially for the corner you had to take in order to drive through it. That was the main concern.
Also, it was a terrible weekend. The saying was it was the weekend when God took his hand away from motorsport. We had the accident to Rubens Barrichello on the Friday. We had the fatal accident on Saturday with Ronan Ratzenberger. And then at the start of the Grand Prix, we have the accident with Pedro Lamy. There's a collision at the start. There is debris that goes into the crowd. Thankfully, no fatalities there. But that leaves perhaps debris because they don't sort of immediately stop the race. And so there is confusion, and there are perhaps parts of debris on the track as well. So it's not just a question of a world champion going off at Tamburello and having an accident. There were other factors that day.
È stato un weekend nel quale sembrava che la Formula 1 fosse destinata a finire, perché c'è stata una sequenza di fatti, incidenti, tragedie che la Formula 1 non era preparata ad affrontare. Era chiaro che le macchine del 1994, prive delle sospensioni attive, fossero diventate particolarmente pericolose, e c'era in atto una discussione da parte dei piloti per provare a trovare delle chiavi attraverso le quali fosse possibile in qualche modo rendere le Formula 1 più sicure. Io considero la morte di Ayrton Senna una sorta di muro fondamentale nella storia della Formula 1, una sorta di antecristo e dopo Cristo della Formula 1.
Well, Formula 1 was actually at the end after that Imola race. Many people spoke about the end of Formula 1 because of that weekend. A sequence of tragedies occurred which Formula 1 was totally unprepared to accept, to even a fathom in the tragedy it meant. The lack of active suspensions on those cars in 94 constituted a great limitation to security of the cars. And pilots were talking among themselves on how to improve the stability and the securities of the cars on which they were racing that year. And I do consider that weekend as ACDC. So before Senna died and after Senna died, that constituted really a moment when everything changed, and it occurred after the Senna tragedy.
Because you only have to see the outpouring of grief in Sao Paulo when Senna's body is taken through the streets when he arrives finally for his last journey home. And you look at the cars in 94 and you look how open the cockpits are, and a lot of the construction suspension are very thin, very strong carbon fiber. And this has always been the story of something unprotected coming off the car when it hits the wall and spearing the helmet of Senna, and this is the reason for his death. But you're right, at this point, sponsors, television networks, they don't want to see their drivers being killed on live TV in two days.
Esattamente così, Michele. Caro Gilles, la situazione è stata drammatica. Io ho avuto l'opportunità di vedere la macchina di Ayrton Senna. È stata un'opportunità data dal direttore dell'autodromo di Imola, Massimo Gambucci, e mi sono dovuto travestire da commissario di percorso. La polizia che aveva iniziato le indagini aveva autorizzato un commissario per aiutare a rimettere insieme la macchina nei vari pezzi distrutti che c'erano, e il direttore dell'autodromo mi aveva chiamato in quanto competente del mondo della Formula 1, perché erano molto preoccupati che sul fatto che, come abbiamo detto prima, i bump potevano essere anche una possibile causa di incidente, voleva tutelarsi che magari se guardavo la macchina con attenzione potevo dare delle chiavi di lettura agli inquirenti per indirizzare quello che era successo. Ti voglio raccontare un episodio da un punto di vista umano che mi ha colpito molto. La macchina c'era accanto a quella di Roland Ratzenberger. La macchina era in un garage chiuso, molto buio, con poca luce. C'eravamo il direttore dell'autodromo, il poliziotto Stefano Stefanini ed io. E la sensazione era di avere carbonio e metallo in quel momento. E mi muovevo meccanicamente a prendere i pezzi che mi ordinava, quindi prendere la ruota anteriore e portarla al lato della sospensione. Cosa è successo? Che passando davanti al cofano è apparsa una macchia grigia. Era una macchia grigia, un grumo di cervello di Ayrton. In quel momento mi è venuta la voglia di scappare via, perché il carbonio, il metallo è diventato un essere umano, è diventata la figura che conoscevo, è diventato il simbolo della Formula 1. Terribile, una sensazione umana incredibile.
It was a really dramatic weekend. I had the possibility to see the wreck of Senna's car the day after the accidents, because the circuit manager Gambucci asked me to come to the racing circuit as a steward, because the circuit was very much afraid of being inducted for the death of Senna. And knowing that I was very much of an expert in Formula One cars, so he asked me to participate in the meeting of the next day with the police in order to give my personal expertise on what might have happened. So I was authorized to see the wreck of the car of Senna, and beside Senna's car was also Ratzenberger's car. What I saw actually was a number of fragments of carbonium and metal. We tried to put the car back together, and at a moment in time, while I was busy trying to rebuild and reconstruct the car as it should have been, I saw a tiny, tiny spot of gray brain matter belonging to Senna's skull. And at that moment, my first feeling was, I want to be out of here. I want to be out of here immediately. It was a shock.
You're there as an expert, Franco. You're there as a man who has reported on motor racing in Italy for decades. And motor racing is the cruel sport, as the famous book calls it, the cruel sport. We've seen the death of Ronnie Peterson, perhaps, at Monza in 78. We've seen tragedies. When you, as a journalist, go to see a garage or a workshop that has not one but two cars, where two drivers, forget as an expert, but as a human being, Franco, what was your reaction to that?
Gilles, è stata una sensazione, come dicevo prima, terribile, perché c'era la percezione di due uomini che sono morti. Sappiamo che motorsport is dangerous, la morte è un elemento che fa parte dello spettacolo, l'attrattiva della morte. Non è casuale che la partenza sia il momento di maggiore attenzione, perché è di maggiore paura. I piloti dicono di non avere paura. Io ti assicuro, sono stato nella griglia anche della 500 miglia di Indianapolis in America, e sai quale sia la velocità media. Si va a quasi 220 miglia, quindi 340 km all'ora, una velocità pazzesca dove gli incidenti sono una regola. La cosa che mi colpì in griglia è stato il bacio del pilota alla sua fidanzata o alla moglie. Era un bacio che dava la sensazione, faceva venire i brividi, perché poteva essere l'ultimo bacio. Ecco, in quel momento c'è la summa del perché l'uomo sfida se stesso correndo.
Non può, I could just add that the feeling was terrible for me. Two men had died. And of course, we all know motorsport is dangerous. That's what they write on the passes. And unfortunately, death belongs to this sport. It's part of it. You have to live with the thought of possible death. And the race start is always very dangerous. Pilots, they say they're not afraid of a start. But I could tell you an anecdote which occurred to me in the United States, in the ovals where the formula, where the racing cars in America are racing and reaching incredible speeds such as 220 miles per hour, and accidents occur, pilots are concerned, I can promise you. And once it happened to me, I was on the starting grid. I saw one pilot kissing his wife goodbye, as though that could be the goodbye kiss forever. And that was a striking image to me.
If you know your racing, you'll know the famous picture of Alfonso de Potago, of course, and that kiss, that famous kiss. In Italy, if there is a fatality at a circuit, it is done differently. There is normally the car is impounded, there is a magistrate, the court case goes on for years and years. So is this book looking at that court case, or is it looking at reactions from people who were there? Because you're speaking to some, you know, speaking to Joe Ramirez, you're speaking to Jean-Ton, Luca de Montemello, of course, and Patrese, the great Riccardo Patrese, and Eric Comas, whose life, of course, Senna famously saved. And if you haven't seen that clip, listeners, go onto YouTube and you will see what I mean. So is the aim to bring a fresh new look at this terrible event? Was that the aim of the book?
Guarda, mi piace molto questa tua domanda, Gilles, perché coglie l'essenza del libro. Io ero giornalista di Autosprint nel 1994 e l'inchiesta giudiziaria ho avuto modo di seguirla da giornalista praticamente tutta. Quando l'editore Minerva mi ha chiesto se era possibile scrivere un libro a distanza di 30 anni, inizialmente ero contrario, perché ero dell'idea che quello che avevo già scritto sul settimanale era la storia ormai finita. La risorsa invece che è venuta fuori, e io credo di essere un po' un matto, nel senso che non mi piace mai fermarmi a quello che è lo strumento che ho raggiunto, ho voluto risentire tutte le fonti che conoscevo che avevano in qualche modo incrociato la loro esistenza con la tragedia di Senna. E l'aspetto per me straordinario che è venuto fuori dal libro, non perché l'ho scritto io sono solo un mezzo, un media, ma sono venute fuori degli spaccati di racconto umano dei personaggi che tu hai citato, ma sono più di una trentina, che danno una dimensione di quella che è la grandezza di Ayrton Senna. Sarebbe diventato un grande uomo indipendentemente dal fatto che è stato un campione del mondo di Formula 1.
This is indeed a very good question, and I'm happy you asked me, because you really caught the essence of the book. Of course, as a journalist, I covered all the court case which ensued, and I reported everything on Autosprint, the magazine for which I was writing at the time. But then, 30 years later, the Italian publisher, Minerva, asks me to write a book about that story. And I thought to myself, well, everything has already been said, everything has already been written. But a sparkle of thinking popped up in my brain and said, well, I might go and speak again to the protagonists of the time. I might go and ask them 30 years later, what's your point of view? And how was your recollection of the story over the years? And this contributed to talking to people who were much more human to me than during their professional course. And talking to them helped me understand how deep the legend of the great Ayrton had delved into their lives, contributing to making Senna a very much alive figure in themselves, deep down their souls. That was the major contribution I could make with my book.
It's funny, isn't it? People talk about when JFK was assassinated, a previous generation knew where they were, what they were doing when Kennedy died. I was sitting watching the San Marino Grand Prix on my TV on that day. I saw the crash, the live pictures. I saw his head go to the side. And I phoned my father, who was a racing driver. And we both said, it looks bad. We didn't, you know, everything went quiet. And my dad said, this looks bad. And, you know, we spoke to each other later that day. And my friends were phoning me and saying, you know, saying as if it was a loss in the, you know, we are all so sorry about Senna. When you speak to people who worked with him, who were close to him, the 30 years disappears. The 30, it might as well have been the weekend that we just had.
Ma è l'aspetto straordinario del personaggio Ayrton Senna. Tutti ricordiamo cosa stavamo facendo quando è morto Ayrton in quel maledetto Gran Premio di San Marino. Esattamente come tutti ricordiamo, per venire a un periodo più recente, che cosa ognuno stava facendo l'11 settembre con il disastro delle Torri Gemelle. È una cosa incredibile, sono i grandi fatti della storia che non si possono cancellare. E a distanza di 30 anni la cosa molto bella è che ci sono immagini dell'automobilismo che sono immagini bianconere perché rappresentano la storia. Manuel Fangio era l'idolo di Ayrton. Manuel aveva vinto 5 titoli mondiali e l'obiettivo di Ayrton, che ne aveva vinti 3, era arrivare al 5º titolo di Juan Manuel Fangio. E se pensiamo a Fangio, vediamo un'immagine in bianco nero, la storia. Adesso dico una quasi bestemmia, ma anche Michael Schumacher, che ha vinto 7 titoli mondiali, è quello che insieme a Lewis Hamilton ha vinto più gare in Formula 1, è una delle figure, le stelle più grandi della storia dell'automobilismo. Per la situazione purtroppo drammatica in cui si trova, è ovviamente vivente dopo l'incidente sugli sci, è anche lui diventato un'immagine bianconera. Ayrton Senna è una immagine a colori. Perché? Il suo mito sopravvive in maniera clamorosa a quella che è la storia dei 30 anni e del suo incidente. Le nuove generazioni cercano Ayrton Senna su YouTube, vogliono sapere chi era, cercano il come mai questo personaggio era straordinario. Ma era straordinario non solo perché era un pilota velocissimo, ma perché aveva un carisma di uomo che spingeva a essere fra i grandi del mondo. Qualunque cosa lui avesse voluto provare, nella quale si sentiva preparato, sarebbe diventato un numero uno. A me ha colpito molto l'ingegnere Ascanelli, che è stato uno dei grandi ingegneri della Formula 1 ed è stato suo ingegnere alla McLaren nel 1993, raccontare in una pillola che cos'è Ayrton Senna. L'uomo al mondo che ho conosciuto con la maggiore capacità di mantenere la concentrazione rispetto a chiunque altro. E questo è un dato sulla ricerca della perfezione, che è stato praticamente una sua spinta di vita, che lo ha portato anche a essere trascendente. La ricerca della perfezione spinge a cercare Dio.
There are moments in life which we all recall, like where were you when Kennedy was killed? Where were you when Ayrton Senna died? Or where were you when the Twin Towers collapsed? There are actually events you cannot delete from your memory. And 30 years later, I can make a comparison between the memory of Senna and the memory of more pilots who have passed away or simply belong to the past. Senna was a great admirer of Manuel Fangio. Juan Manuel Fangio was his idol. Juan Manuel Fangio had won 5 titles, and Senna's goal was actually to win 5, like him. But when you think of Juan Manuel Fangio, you recall black and white photos. And black and white photos are romantic and belong to the image we all have of Fangio. Well, let me also say that even the superstar driver, Schumacher, with his 7 titles, actually, because of the tragedy that occurred to him, has now become, unfortunately, also a black and white figure, because his life is far away from the eyes of the world. So he's kind of become black and white to the rest of the world. But when we think of Senna, we think of a full color picture. The man by himself was a man in colors, in full colors. New generations still today search on the web videos, interviews of Senna, because beyond being a man, he was a charismatic figure. And I can quote the words of engineer Ascanelli, who was his chief mechanic at McLaren. And Ascanelli said to me, Senna was the man in the world who could keep high level of concentration for a very long time, because he was driven to search perfection.
And that lap at Monte Carlo, that unbelievable practice lap, where it is a lap of God. And if there's a legacy of Ayrton, it is to watch that lap and just go, this is not the work of man. Your book, Senna, The Truth, is to add to the legacy of Senna, is to explain a little more about that day, is to look at the impact his life had, and the tragedy that he's not with us. His career after, he was so much more than just a racing driver. Is the aim of the book to add to our understanding of Senna?
Sono perfettamente d'accordo, Gilles, e penso che sia un fenomeno mediatico che andrebbe studiato nelle università, perché ha un'ascendenza che esce dalla logica di tutti i giorni. È un personaggio che buca il tempo, è un personaggio che non a caso è diventato mito. Senna ha una caratteristica straordinaria: piaceva alle donne, il 50% dei suoi tifosi erano donne. La rivalità con Nelson Piquet, fortissima, non era di natura sportiva. È che Nelson le donne le andava a cercare, mentre invece Ayrton veniva cercato. E questa è un'altra piccola sottolineatura di come il personaggio sia in grado in ogni situazione di emergere. E non è casuale che dopo la Formula 1 si parlasse di un suo inserimento o all'ONU o addirittura alla presidenza del Brasile.
I agree 100% with you. Senna should be studied in university as a media figure which defies time. So I think many people should study the legacy of Senna and the reason why it is still so strong. He passes through time like no other figure. Just allow me to say that one reason might be that Senna was much beloved also by women. For a pilot, this is unusual. And women really loved Senna. And the enmity, if we can call it like this, with Nelson Piquet, you know, the two didn't love each other, although they were Brazilian. But Nelson Piquet envied the fact that Senna was searched from women, that women wanted to have a direct relationship to him, whilst Piquet had to go look for women, exploiting, of course, his popularity as a driver. And this is also incredible. The difference between searching and being searched is something that tells a lot about the character. It's not by chance that everybody thought that after racing, Senna would become a UNO member or maybe the president of Brazil. That belongs to the character as well.
The book is called Senna, The Truth. It is by Franco Nugnes, who I'm speaking to today. You can order it via our own virtual bookstore. Franco, thank you so much for your time today. It's been wonderful to speak with you. And Michele, thank you so much for your time today.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect to your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.